Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church.
And I'm Doug McBurney. Thanks for letting me in the studio again, Bob.
Doug, it's so great to see you. The show last week was a lot of fun.
I had a great time.
Yeah, just talking through the news, and I see that you've brought a stack of news.
I got a stack of news. But first, I just want to thank you for allowing me and several others from Denver Bible Church to accompany you this morning to visit a telescope manufacturing facility right here in Metro Denver.
Wasn't that just extraordinary?
It was amazing.
What a tour. This guy, Jim Burr, he is an inventor extraordinaire.
Yeah.
He has been credited with the most significant updates, improvements to the telescope since Galileo.
Yeah.
And he's got a major manufacturing facility here. He's sold telescopes to, you know, Jet Propulsion Laboratory,
MIT,
Los Alamos, and NASA, and all over this country, observatories, Lowell, Lick, and so on, and all over the world, the U.S. Naval Observatory.
Yeah, and he also makes some telescopes for just the regular citizen who likes to observe the night sky.
For amateurs. And you know what?
High quality stuff.
I enjoyed using his solar telescope and looking at the sun.
That was awesome.
And looking at those flares as they're happening.
Yeah.
And there was just one sunspot, just sort of north of center of the sun. But what a neat time.
Yeah, that sunspot was the size of like a size 6 font.
Right.
But he said that's the size of the Earth.
Size of the Earth.
It was amazing.
On the sun. And the fact that Jim loves the Lord.
Yeah, that was awesome.
He is a creationist, and he enjoys showing the power and the majesty of God by teaching people about the universe.
Yeah, he's a part of what is one of the most critical ministries of our lifetime, and that's creation science. It's critical to getting the minds of young people before the heathens get a hold of them.
Yeah. So we've asked Jim Burr if he'd come on the show, and he's eager to come on a Real Science Friday one of these days.
Now, as you can well imagine, he's booked well in advance.
Yeah, so it'll take a while.
His people are talking to our people.
Yes.
As we speak.
Yeah, and that really should be fun.
Yeah, well, that'll be fantastic. Yeah. He gives a great presentation.
So, Doug, what should we do? Which of these news stories?
Well, first, I wanted to, we received an email regarding the Casey Anthony, well, somewhat involving the Casey Anthony verdict.
Yeah.
You did the story last week about the woman who was assaulted and assailed and her van was flipped over because someone thought she looked like Casey Anthony.
Yeah, that's, right, exactly.
Right, now, isn't that the way?
Now, that woman, she's mentally ill, I'm sure. The woman who assaulted this Casey Anthony lookalike.
Yeah, this is a woman working at a convenience store who happens to look like Casey Anthony, a relatively mentally unstable woman, came in the store,
right,
accused her of being Casey Anthony, and then chased her in her vehicle.
It was
and
a vehicular
crashed.
Assault, and it was a serious crash.
Yeah, it was
crash.
Very, flipped her vehicle over.
Yeah,
scary.
This poor woman, this innocent woman, was horrified. And so here, the aggressor here is obviously mentally ill.
I would guess that she's unstable.
Yeah.
Yes, but that's and her mental instability is not helped when the justice system puts this ridiculous verdict out for all of us to see, and people who are on the edge, you know, people who are kind of half crazy already.
Well, they're provoked.
They're provoked. God
says, "Don't." Provoked. For example, fathers, do not provoke your children.
Mm.
And one way you could provoke your children is to administer unfair justice. You
right.
call it justice, but it's not justice, and you knowingly punish a child when he's not guilty.
Right, right.
And so do not provoke your child. So this mentally ill woman was provoked.
She was provoked by this by this travesty of justice that has occurred. Well, let me read an email we received from, we'll just call him Bob.
Bob.
Okay.
We don't want to give his name.
We'll just call him Bob. He says, Bob, I understand the position on the you must forgive automatically idea.
Yeah. A lot of churches teach
you got to forgive.
Automatically, repentance is superfluous.
Yes.
It's unnecessary. And we try to correct that from the Bible because Jesus said if he repents.
If he repents, forgive him.
So he understands we teach that.
So, Bob, I understand your position on the, quote, you must forgive automatically idea, unquote. But don't you have to drop the issue so it does not fester and cause the results as shown in this story?
Hmm.
There is more to be said than I have suggested, so go with it. Make it interesting. I like the discussion.
Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to make this interesting.
But he says, Bob, I love the discussions you have on your show. It makes me think more deeply on issues. And I love Real Science Friday. He appends onto that.
All right.
So he loves Real Science Friday. But wait a minute. Is Bob trying to say here, don't you have to, I see.
So he wants us to forgive this, Casey Anthony, or teach that people should forgive, or just let people forgive Casey Anthony, and forgive her for what? What would you forgive her for?
Well, she never did anything to me. I don't know what I could forgive her for.
And she says she didn't hurt her daughter.
Yeah.
So to forgive her, you have to call her a liar, which is not very forgiving.
That's not forgiving to say that she's lying about the fact that she didn't kill her child.
Right. It's not very forgiving to say you are a lying murderer.
Right.
And I forgive you, you lying murderer. So it's.
But what about Bob's point here?
Yeah.
That if you don't drop the issue,
right,
it'll fester and it'll cause maybe you, Bob, to go crazy and go flip over Casey Anthony's car. Right. Down the road, you never know, Bob. You could snap because you've got all this pent-up angst because you haven't forgiven Casey.
And I think people who don't forgive because Jesus said don't forgive, I think they're way more mentally healthy than people who buy into the psychobabble of forgive everyone. Mm. Now, and I think the answer to his question is therefore the opposite of what Robert thinks it might be, because he's thinking that because Bob Benyart Live teaches you don't have to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how many big ministries teach that?
None.
Well, not a one that I ever
maybe
heard
that
of.
One guy out of Texas. I forget his name. Maybe. I can't remember his name, but there might be one other.
Who, Larry?
I don't know. He's on shortwave or something.
And Valerie? Larry Kilgore?
No. Who am I thinking about? I don't know of any other ministry. In fact, let's put that. If anyone knows, please send us an email.
Yeah.
We'd like to make contact.
Yeah.
So we don't feel so alone.
Bob at kgov.com.
Yeah,
Bob at kgov.com. So virtually the entire church teaches that you must forgive automatically.
Yeah.
So it's pretty much Bob Benyart Live and a handful, perhaps we could call it a remnant, of other teachers who teach what Jesus said, that if someone comes to you and repents, you should forgive him.
Yeah.
And if he sins against you seven times and seven times comes to you and repents, then you should forgive him. You trust him. You take him at his word, and you want to forgive people. So that's your attitude. But Jesus said, if he repents, forgive him, in Luke 17:3. If he repents, forgive him.
Right.
So since the entire church teaches the opposite of what Jesus said, they teach you forgive automatically, and yet the world is filled with violence. Our country is.
Yeah.
And Doug, I would guess that probably the majority of offenders have repeatedly heard the teaching of automatic forgiveness.
Sure.
And I would even think the majority have attended church repeatedly where they've probably heard that teaching.
Mm-hmm.
So our slogan is do right and risk the consequences.
Yeah.
And because the forgive everyone syndrome is based on self-righteousness, like I'm better than God, because God doesn't forgive everyone. Obviously, he has a judgment day.
Yeah.
And some people are sent to hell because they hate God. They don't want to live with God forever. And so God doesn't forgive everyone, but I'm bigger than God.
Mm.
I'm better than God. I'm more righteous than God.
I'm more loving, more merciful.
I am more forgiving than God.
That's very similar to what Lucifer said in the garden. I mean, it's pushing right up against it.
Yeah. And so because people think that they have to forgive everyone, then that's based on self-righteousness and humanism. And I think the influence of biblically-based teaching on forgiveness, as Jesus said, if he repents, forgive him, that would help reduce violent outbursts by helping people to be more emotionally and spiritually healthy.
Mm.
That's my take on it.
That's good. That's good, sound biblical advice.
Yeah, so Robert, that's my take on it. We have a Bible study on forgiveness. We've got it on DVD. Somebody could get the DVD Forgiveness from Bob Benyart Live. from our store, or just call us 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. And it's very liberating, and it's true.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, Casey Anthony was released from prison in the wee morning hours, Sunday morning. And we've got the exclusive right here as to where she went. You know, everyone wants to know where she's going to go.
They all want to know where she went. And
so
I think
she was sent east into the land of Nod, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
That's the report we had here.
And apparently, do you want to announce where she is? Should I announce?
Please, you must.
Apparently, Casey Anthony has enrolled into a Saudi women's college outside of Riyadh.
Wait a minute now. I've got a story here from Aaron Klein at WorldNet Daily.
Yeah.
Exposing Hillary Clinton's chief of staff and her ties to Islamic fundamentalist organizations. It says Secretary of State Hillary Clinton spoke at a Saudi women's college.
Spoke at a what?
Where she was at a Saudi women's college.
I didn't know they had colleges. This is news to me.
I know. I didn't think they even allowed women to learn how to read in Saudi Arabia.
They can't drive.
That's right. There's right now there's a movement on.
The Muslim Taliban in Afghanistan did not allow women to read.
Okay, so I might have the Saudis
children
confused.
Children could not own, say, Frisbees. They couldn't have birds.
No MP3 player. No birds for pets?
No birds.
Why not?
Frivolous? Yeah.
Well, I can understand the dog thing with them. They don't like dogs. But I didn't know they had a thing for birds.
Do they like cats?
I don't know. Maybe with a little salt and pepper, just,
you know,
medium well.
We had dinner in Antakya in Turkey.
Yeah?
And I don't know.
It's quite possible. Anyway, Bob.
There really there's a women's college in Saudi Arabia.
Yes. And
what do you study there?
I think the first major, you could major in submission, right? Okay. That's a big one.
Right.
And, what would your minor be?
In ducking.
That's right, because Muhammad says once in a while, you know, the husband's got to, you know, smack the wife around a little bit.
Well, I remember he threatened his wives because he made a promise to his main wife that he would not touch this slave girl that was working for them.
This is Muhammad.
Muhammad.
The original one, not the fighter from the 60s.
Right.
Right? The original Muhammad.
Cassius Clay?
Cassius, yes. This is before Cassius
That's
Clay.
That's when all of Western civilization fell apart, right?
When Cassius became Muhammad.
Yeah.
Wow, I never saw that. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Doug, so in the Quran, there is a chapter. In fact, if you get the Penguin edition of the Quran, I've got two Qurans right here.
You do.
But the Penguin edition.
I'll take your
I'm
word
stretching.
For it that you've got the Quran.
Well, here, look, right here.
Oh.
See this?
Within arm's reach.
Yeah, I've got a leather one.
Oh, that sounds
great.
That
is the full Quran in Arabic with English.
Wow.
English translation also. And then I have the Penguin edition.
Okay, the paperback.
Penguin Classics.
In case you need to take your Quran on the run with you.
And the last surah is called Prohibition.
Okay.
And this is where Muhammad threatens, and I'm looking at it right here. I could read it, but Muhammad threatens that his wives will burn in hell if they complain about him with this slave girl. And he's mad because he gave his word. He promised that he wouldn't touch her.
Okay.
And then he realized that Allah said that Muhammad should take what Muhammad deserves.
Oh.
And what right does his wife have to hold him to his pledge?
Hey, and if that comes right from Allah, I mean, it's kind of hard to argue with that.
Yeah, right.
Very convenient for Muhammad, too, if he likes the slave girl.
So it says Allah has set an example, you know, and so on. And they talk about the wife of Lot in here.
Oh, really?
It says, you know, Allah has given us an example with the wife of Lot.
Oh.
And so you better shut up or you're in big trouble. Mm-hmm. You're going to burn in hell.
Wow.
It talks about submission right here. They need to be submissive and obedient and...
Yeah.
It's gross. So anyway, the women's college in Saudi, I don't know what disciplines they
submission
teach.
And ducking would definitely be two of the most popular
and driving
courses. Yeah, driving, I don't know if they have a driving course there yet, but I think they're working on that.
Okay.
In fact, that might be Casey Anthony's next mission in life, is to introduce a driver's ed course.
So we, so our investigators have determined that Casey Anthony has enrolled in the Saudi Women's College.
Right.
But what's with this college? Now, what's
this,
the story?
This is actually a real story because Professor Saleha Mahmoud Abedin is the mother of Hillary Clinton's chief of staff, Huma Abedin.
This is weird.
Yeah.
You cannot make this stuff up, Doug.
Yeah, Huma.
This is true.
Yeah. Now, you're just not talking about how funny their names sound either, right? You're actually reading the story because their names sound funny.
You can't make this stuff up.
No.
Abdul Muhammad.
Yeah.
Idrul Abdul Muhammad.
So Saleha Mahmoud Abedin is the mother-in-law of disgraced former Congressman Anthony Viner. You're familiar with Anthony Viner and the Vinergate controversy.
Right.
So you can't make this up.
No.
So he
resigned.
Yeah. Yeah.
In shame. There should be shame. I don't know that he had any shame.
No, no. Yeah, I believe he's working on a new reality show with the former New York governor, who CNN just fired him. Amazing that I can't remember his name.
Governor, you mean the attorney
Mayor,
general who was...
Possibly attorney general.
Who hired prostitutes. Yeah.
Spitzer, Elliot Spitzer. I think they're going to do a show together. That would have been great if I could have remembered his name right there. But anyway, this story, though, has... they're serious. This is serious because... the mother of Hillary Clinton's chief of staff is tied to she formerly directed the Institute of Muslim Minority Affairs in the UK, served as a delegate for the Muslim World League, an Islamic fundamentalist group. Osama bin Laden reportedly told an associate was one of his most important charity fronts. So
Doug, it gets worse than that.
Wait a minute. It can't
get worse. The U.S. government has said that the groups that were launched by this Muslim charity that this Mahmoud Abedin worked for, that one of them has been declared to be an official terrorist group, a front for Al-Qaeda.
And this is the mother of the chief of staff
of
the Secretary of State.
Hillary Clinton's chief of staff.
Wow.
Now, how do you make this stuff up? And she and she's also the mother-in-law of Anthony Viner.
Viner, yes. Ah. You know, and people were worried that Obama was some kind of closet Muslim who snuck in.
Yeah.
And here's Hillary. She's bringing him right in the front door.
Right. Well, Hillary is a United Methodist,
so
which is the same religion as George W. Bush.
Oh, yeah.
And that denomination has largely denied the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's a shame what's happened to the United Methodists.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've really gone heretical.
Once you deny that God created the earth in the recent past, it's pretty much all downhill from there. You were quoting Ken Ham at lunch today.
Oh, yeah.
And talking to Jim, the telescope manufacturer.
Right, and just letting him know how critical his ministry is.
Yeah, and what was it, the quote you said? It was a great quote from a decade ago when Ken Ham said that if you could get children to doubt the truth of Genesis...
Chapter 1,
you've pretty much
set them on a path that will almost guarantee they'll reject God. You'll at least corrupt half of them, probably more.
Mm.
And Ken Ham was probably... That was a rosy scenario if you look at what's actually happened in the last 15 years.
Yeah.
And how many Christian kids have been lost to the pop culture and the government schools.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we've created this doubt about the very first thing God said was that he created everything, the heavens and the earth and everything in them, if I'm not mistaken, in 6 days.
The heavens, the earth, the seas, and everything in them.
Everything in them in 6 days.
That is just awesome.
Wow. Anyway, Ken Ham, very prescient.
Yeah, and
almost, you could call him a prophet.
Sunday morning at Denver Bible Church in the sermon, we were talking about Psalm 113, where it says that God has to humble himself to look down upon the creation.
Yeah. I never considered that before, but I've always assumed that God lived somewhere outside of the universe. I've always just assumed that.
I think that's true.
And maybe
But that verse helps to establish that.
I think so.
And I think it's established in other passages also, but that the throne room of God and the heaven where God lives is not in this heaven. The Apostle Paul speaks of three heavens.
Right, right.
The third heaven. In the first heaven, the Bible frequently speaks of the atmosphere mm-hmm. as the heaven where the birds fly and the weather happens.
Right.
And then there's the heavens of the planets
right,
and
the stars, right.
the sun. And then there's the heaven of God's throne room.
Mm.
So there are three heavens, and where God lives, if you can say it that way, mm-hmm. is beyond this universe. He humbles himself to look upon us.
Right. Amazing.
Yeah.
And I'm glad he does so, by the way. It's really advantageous to us.
I bet you in reality it's like a Dr. Seuss with, remember, you're a person's a person no matter how small.
Horton hears a who.
Yep. Right. And so there's this whole civilization.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And this little speck
right, right.
on a flower.
Uh-huh.
And so God could be in his throne room, and there could, not that there is, but it could be this way, that there's a pedestal off to the side of God's throne,
yeah.
and on the pedestal is a crystal hovering over the pedestal,
mm-hmm.
and in the crystal is the universe.
Wow.
That's
cool.
Possible.
You should make a movie. You should make a movie like that.
Let's call really one of cool. our friends.
Yes, that is really... It might be something very much like that.
It might be.
I have a feeling that God is not so much different than us, although he's spirit, you know, and we're carnal, but
right. well,
he's
he
not
created
that much
us
different.
In his image and likeness.
Right. We can comprehend him.
Yeah, to the extent that he has revealed himself to us, yes.
Yes.
All right, so what else do you have in the news, Doug?
Well, I think I've probably caught here just in this short wire report evidence that Barack Obama's political career is in pretty serious trouble.
Ooh.
Now, there have been some bumps along the road. Even he admits he's hit some headwinds.
Yeah.
He's had some bumps along the road.
Yeah.
But this is big. And here's what happened. He was giving a talk introducing his nominee to run the Consumer Bureau. It's a new bureau that Obama has created, if you can believe that.
For consumers.
He's created a new bureau. Mm. If you want to consume, there's a bureau now for that. So he's introducing his nominee.
All right.
And he says this. He says that, by the way, this fella's name is Richard Cordray. And he says Richard was a 5-time Jeopardy champion and a semifinalist in the Tournament of Champions right there on Jeopardy. Not too shabby. That's why. All his confirmation, all the answers in his confirmation hearings will be in the form of a question. And
now that's
what? It's that, funny?
It's funny.
It's funny. Okay, the imitation's not so great. I'm still working on it.
That is
funny. A funny joke, right?
Yeah.
Well, nobody laughed.
Nobody laughed.
Nobody laughed. And this proves my point. I'm sitting here on Bob Enyart Live, and Bob Enyart, a dispassionate, uninterested party, admitted
right.
that the joke was structurally funny.
Well, yeah, I would say objectively it is pretty
funny. It's a funny joke.
That the president nominates someone who's a former Jeopardy champion.
Jeopardy champion, right.
And he says all the answers at his confirmation will be in the form of a question.
That is a technically funny joke.
Yeah,
even Bob Enyart, no friend to Barack Obama, is
no.
willing to admit that
chuckle.
Technically,
yeah.
it's not a laugh out loud, but it's a chuckle.
It's funny.
Not a word. There were crickets. Brr, brr, you know, chirp, chirp. It was bad. So Obama had to tell the people gathered there that it was, he said, that's a joke.
That's a joke.
And so that's it. Barack is in trouble.
He would have had a better reception if he didn't hold this event at that women's college in Saudi Arabia.
Oh,
they would have understood
that,
the cultural
that may,
reference.
Yeah, that may be that some of that, there's something lost in translation yeah. there.
All right. So what do we got next?
Okay. Now, I don't know if this story is, I don't know if you're going to be upset with me for even bringing this up. Anderson County, South Carolina, we got a story from a television station down there.
Yeah.
A gentleman and his fiance bought some pictures from a Walmart back in June.
Right.
And let's see. The following Wednesday, the couple had just come home from church when the man spotted the receipt on the floor of his fiance's apartment. He says the receipt had changed. A dark gray mark on the receipt seems to show two eyes, a nose, a mouth, and a thickly bearded face. The man says the more you look at it, the more it looks like Jesus.
Oh, brother.
This is on
so
a Walmart.
So this is one of those where... They see miracles. They look into
right.
Pop-Tarts.
Right.
And then they freeze them and auction them on eBay?
Yes.
I like to look for relics like this at Dairy Queen.
Dairy Queen?
In the blizzards.
Oh, that's your preferred media?
Somebody told me that if you stare into a blizzard,
yeah.
a chocolate chip one or
okay.
a Snickers one.
The Heath Bar one's pretty good.
Yeah. Then, yeah.
But that's never happened for
it's
you,
superstition,
has it?
Right?
Yeah, well, is it superstition or is it that the blizzard just never lasts long enough for you
it's horrendous.
To experience?
It's horrendously superstitious. And what is sad, Doug, I was using the leading Bible software in the world, Logos software,
right,
a week ago, and they have all kinds of little stories, vignettes,
mm-hmm.
that pastors could cut and paste into a sermon.
Right.
And this one was of this woman. They said there's a woman who twice has devoted herself to Satan, and the child, her first child from her marriage, she dedicated to Satan. And they said that child looks middle age, even though he's only 5 years old, and he has wrinkles like an old man.
Yeah.
And that it, and this is so embarrassing that is included in this Logos library.
Library. That's a little embarrassing.
It is so embarrassing. It is utter superstition. It's not credible. It's not a true story. It should be obvious that it's not a true story. They think because they put some pastor's name there as though they sourced it,
yeah.
and so it's a true story.
Uh-huh.
It's not a true story. You don't have to investigate it. You could, and that would be helpful to the body of Christ.
Yeah,
that would be expose. Worthwhile. But Christians don't want to have a standard where there needs to be evidence. They don't want that.
Mm.
And Jesus said, if I testify concerning myself, my testimony is not credible. You have to look at the evidence. So how much more when we hear Christians who border on the verge of mental illness telling us these stories, and then they get repeated by pastors who it seems lack spiritual wisdom and maturity.
And thinking atheists who are in utter rebellion against God and need God's forgiveness and salvation are pushed away from God.
Pushed away, and they love this stuff.
And they forward this to all their friends.
They would make it up if we didn't do it, but Christians do this.
Yeah.
How about up in the foothills above Golden, there were people going up there and staring at the sun to see Mary.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and some people got severe
retinal damage, I'm sure.
Severe blindness.
Yeah. Wow.
And so then they've been warned not to do that.
Superstition can be bad for your health, that it's bad for the body of Christ, and it's bad for the heathen who needs God.
Yeah. Doug McBurney, thanks for bringing the news.
Thanks for making this show a form of worship.
All right.
It's a form of worship. Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Amen.
He's the creator and the savior.
Amen.
Your savior if you trust in him. All right. KGov.com, KGOV.com, 800-8-NYARDS.